There's a wonderful outline in this chapter of Jesus' prayer. We have, first of all, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus' prayer for Himself. If you look at it there, just a few things about that prayer. verse 1, He says, "The hour has come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life as many as Thou hast given to them." And I love verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Amen. So Jesus prays for Himself in these first 5 verses. And then in verses 6 through 19, He prays not only for Himself, but He prays for His disciples, those that were with Him. And I think especially of verse 17, what a precious verse that is. It says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Dr. M.R. DeHaan said this, "Remember, truth is still truth, even if it makes you mad." Amen? Someone has said conviction takes on 3 phases. You get mad, you get sad, and then you get glad if you come to a knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. Sometimes the Word of God will make you mad. Amen. By the way, that's okay. That means you've got a Heavenly Father that's convicting you. Amen. Conviction's a beautiful thing. Dr. Curtis Hudson said this about truth. He said, "If you don't agree with truth, you can either get right or die wrong." Amen. Truth. Jesus said here, "Thy word is truth." Listen, it's not my opinion. It's not Dr. Phil. It's not Dr. Laura, bless God. It's what the Word of God says is truth. Amen. Somebody was asking me about our church. I said, how's your church governed and going through all that? And I said, "It's right here, brother. Here it is." Did I just wake that child up? I'm sorry. I should preach more meek and calm messages. Amen. I did that one time. I was up there screaming, and I made this big point. There was a baby right on the front row, and he just looked at me and went, "Oh!" started screaming. I said, "Well, amen. I've blown it now. Amen." Listen, the Word of God is truth, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, listen, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to wake up tomorrow morning and get in it like it's the only book that God ever wrote. Amen. It's another thing before we go to bed tonight to open it up and to look at some truth for our souls. Amen. Thy Word is truth. Jesus prays for Himself. He prays for His disciples. But then in verses 20 through 26, in the concluding point of the outline, He prays for His church. Jesus' prayer for His church. Look at verse 20. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone," speaking of His disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." I have in my Bible my full name right next to that verse. I have underlined, "but them also which shall believe in Me through their word." Listen, the reason you and I are saved is because the apostles took the Word of God and they didn't hide it under a bushel. Amen. They got it out, and then people that they trained got them out, and then people that they trained got it out. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2 that we're supposed to train faithful men also who shall be able to teach others. Amen. I'm so glad for the person that got me the Word of God, and I believed on His name through them. Them. I believe this is His church. His church, right there in that verse. "Them also which shall believe." Believe means faith. Have faith in. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to make it to heaven tonight, you're going to have to do it by faith. Because you've never seen Jesus with your own eyes, and I've never seen Him with my own eyes. But I'll tell you, I see Him every time I read the blessed book. Amen. In every page. But then He didn't just say, "them also which shall believe" in verse 20, but He said, "them also which shall believe on Me." John 10:9, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out and find pasture." John 14:6, we quoted it this morning. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and the Philippian jailer came and he wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, believing is not enough. You've got to believe on Jesus. Amen. Listen, we've said it before, but the Muslims believe. They really believe. Amen? Listen, the Hindus really believe, but they don't believe on Jesus. You see, here he talks about eternal life, and he says in verse 20, but for them also which shall believe on me, and then I love the end of the verse, through their word. Through their word. By the way, this word first, amen? Amen? Us taking this word with our own words to people that need it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What is Jesus' prayer for His church in these verses? Well, I see several calls. I see several calls here. I believe we have 4 points tonight. First thing I see is I see a call to unity. The call to unity. Look at verse number 21. And we see this several times just in our text alone, but then also further up. Verse 21. It says, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. By the way, you want a great verse on the Trinity. That's it. Amen. Here's Jesus and the Father having a conversation. Then he says, us. Us. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Jump down to verse 22 and see there in the middle of the verse, that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Down to verse, look back over to verse number 11. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Merrill Tenney said this, great Bible expositor on the book of John. He said, a clear distinction should be drawn from four closely allied concepts. Unanimity, uniformity, union, and unity. Unanimity means absolute concord of opinion within a given group of people. The example of that would be a vote. As we take a vote, if there's unanimity, it's the people that are on this side of the issue and the people that are on this side of the issue. Uniformity is a complete similarity of organization or ritual. Something we could think about. We know somebody that wears a uniform. If you play for the Detroit Tigers, you should not wear a New York Yankees uniform. By the way, unless you're unsaved, you shouldn't wear a New York Yankees uniform ever. Amen. It's wicked. It's wrong. No, but you see, the idea there is that's a particular group. Uniformity. So they can distinguish between groups. The third is union. Union implies political affiliation without necessarily including individual agreement. We would think of perhaps the political parties. Democratic Party are in a particular union. Republican Party in particular union or accord with one another. But unity, think about this, folks. Unity requires oneness of inner heart and essential purpose through the possession of a common interest or a common life. Let me read that again. Unity requires oneness of inner heart and essential purpose through the possession of a common interest or a common life. We mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. Mention it again. The Bible is our grounds for unity, Brother Becker. Amen. The Bible is our only grounds for unity. And many groups today are telling us to come together and we need to break down the barriers and we need to be tolerant of one another and heaven forbid we ought not to be negative. Listen to me. The three grounds I think of in this order for unity, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Church of God. Amen. And I'm not interested in breaking down any of those barriers. Amen. I think they're supposed to be there. Listen, we're called to unity. It's always within the bounds of the Word of God. You know, there was a reason why when I read the history of this church that this church came out of the Northern Baptist Convention. There was a reason why. I'll tell you why. It was because there were apostates in Northern Baptist theological seminaries that were teaching people that were coming out, and Pastor Pease at the time didn't want to send any more of the church's money to fund that, and to that I say amen. That's not the kind of unity we're talking about. We're not going to be unified with an organization just because they carry the name Baptist. We're going to be unified because they hold to this book. Amen. I'm not interested in just any Bible college just because they say Baptist. I want to know what they believe. I want to know what they believe about salvation. I want to know what they believe about the virgin birth. I want to know what they believe about the local church. Amen. And then if we're in agreement, we can have unity. But here's the arbiter. Amen. Here's the divine umpire right here. The Word of God. There's a call to unity. There's something else. In verse 22, there's a call to testimony. There's a call to testimony. Look at it there in verse 22 and 23. It says, "In the glory that which thou gavest me, have I given unto them, that they may be one as we are one." I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. It's supposed to be verse 21. Verse 21. "That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Down to verse 23. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." God here says that the unity of the saints will send them out into the world and that they will be a testimony to a lost and dying world. You see in verse 21, that the world may believe. How's that going to happen? Your testimony. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Listen, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Amen? But He doesn't cut the grass. He doesn't clean the windows. He doesn't pass out the tracts. Amen? We do that. Listen, you're going out and trying to talk to a lost world. See, Jesus here is, there's a call to unity, but there's a call to testimony. And I want to tell you something. One of the most impressive things to the world, and we said it this morning as we had 14 in my office for prayer, one of the most impressive things, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another." The way we love in this church, and I appreciate Uncle Joe saying that, he said about our church, when he first came in, he said, "You know what I love about this church? I love the love of this church." He said, "I love the way you folks love each other. It's obvious." And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is a powerful testimony for God. The way I see some of you and I come up as a pastor and I make a visit on perhaps somebody that had a surgery and there's already a couple of our people in the room. Amen. That came up on their own to come and visit with this person. Mrs. Kelly was telling me the story just 15 years ago when Brother Joe had his heart attack. And saying that Miss Pat McGee was working in the office and they were talking on the phone and Glory didn't know how she was going to get down to Ann Arbor where Brother Joe was. And Miss Pat said, "Well, I'm almost finished with the bulletin. I'll come pick you up and we'll go down." That's love. That's love. And by the way, it smacks in the face of some churches where there's always bickering, backbiting, gossiping, cliques, division, and discord. You see, there's a call to unity, and when we have unity, there's a call to testimony. God says here that the unity of the saints is a testimony to a lost and dying world. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you." but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Listen, God help us not to be that divided church. Amen. God help us. The oneness of God's people is a testimony. Your life growing in grace is a testimony to a lost world. I praise the Lord for 2 weeks in a row now. We've seen a young couple come, and they're friends of Gary and Kayla Stanley, and they sat right down there. Grace and Cody are their names. And I want to tell you what they've seen. They've seen a young couple get their lives right with God and be faithful and watch how God has blessed them. It's been a testimony to them. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18 says. Now that you've been saved, people ought to say there's something different about you, isn't there? It ought to be said that way. Amen. You go to a restaurant and you say yes ma'am and no sir, and boy, they look at you like you got three heads. Amen. There's something different about you. Yeah, that's absolutely right. The King of the universe moved into my heart. Amen. There's a call to unity, a call to testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2 says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You know what that means? People that won't read the Bible will read your life and make that their Bible. So we ought to live in such a way as to be a testimony to a lost world. Jesus here in His prayer for the church, His prayer for the church was a call to unity. It was a call to testimony. And number three, it was a call to camaraderie or fellowship. A call to camaraderie or fellowship. Look, if you would, at verse number 24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Can I tell you, that is one of the truly great verses in your Bible. Jesus is praying to the Father that them also which shall believe on me, the church, I will that they be with me where I am. You know, Jesus is looking forward to coming back and getting His bride. Coming back and getting His bride. I mean, we're going to look at it not too long in our Sunday school class, but we'll talk a little bit about the betrothal. And I know some of you have studied that. It's one of the most beautiful pictures. The Oriental wedding of old is not the wedding of today. It's so different. How the groom would be betrothed to a wife, and he would go off for a little while and he would prepare a house for them to live in. And they hadn't gotten married yet, but they belonged to each other. And he would go off and he'd prepare that house, and then, like the parable of the 10 virgins, he would come and they'd say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. You know, that's what's going to happen one day. You see, if you're saved, you're betrothed to Christ. Amen? If you're saved, you're part of the bride of Christ. And you know what He did? As He's gone off, Brother Horst, to prepare us a place. He's gone off to build a home for His bride. And He's going to come back and take us. And it's going to be a marriage supper like we've never seen before. And don't ask me what's going to be at the marriage supper and what's not. I had somebody say to me yesterday, I think we're all going to be vegetarians in heaven. I said, man, I'm not going. No, just kidding. I said, I don't know if that's true or not. I said, maybe, who knows, Mr. Perry, maybe Brussels sprouts will taste like prime rib. I don't know. Amen. And I want to tell you this. Jesus' desire is for us eternally to have fellowship. We read it this morning. John chapter 14, verse 3, when Jesus said, in verse 2, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, if you're saved, Jesus has to come back for you, because He wants you to be with Him. He wants you to have fellowship. He wants you to have camaraderie. In John chapter 11, He said to Mary, Jesus said to Mary, or to Martha rather, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me and that thou hearest me always. He was in constant fellowship with the Father. Why do Christians go to heaven? Well, there's an easy outline there. First of all, the price Jesus paid. Amen. Secondly, was the promise Jesus made. And thirdly, was the prayer Jesus prayed. There's a call to camaraderie, a call to fellowship. Jesus desires you to be where He is. He wants your fellowship. Can I say this while we're here on this sod, just traveling along? We're just pilgrims in a strange land. You know how God fellowships with you? He fellowships with you through this book. He fellowships with you through prayer. He fellowships with you and wants you to fellowship through God's people. That's why He said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It wasn't because He didn't know gas prices would be $4 a gallon. It's because He knew we need one another. The presence of God amongst His people. He wants you to share His glory with you. Fourthly, there's a call to unity. There's a call to testimony, call to camaraderie, and then lastly, and I like this, there's a call to charity. Oh, not the way some would describe it. Look what it says there in verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. You know what God calls us to? He calls us to love Him. By the way, He doesn't demand it. Amen? He doesn't demand it. Thus putting the doctrine of hyper-Calvinism right in the trash can where it belongs. That He's only got some called out and those that love Him supremely. No, no, no. Just like you with your children. You sure want their love, but you don't demand it. But you make it very easy for them to love you. I say to Eric all the time, and I say, I love you, buddy. Love you. And he'll say back to me, love you. Now he's just in the repeating stage. Now we've got Luke doing it. It doesn't quite sound the same. It's more like, uh-huh. Listen, and forgive me. You may think I'm spoiling them. I am. Amen. When we pass by on West Avenue, by the way, we love our house. Brother Horsch and Brother Jones are the ones that helped us get our house. We house hunted the weekend we were here candidating, and a house fell through. So we had to put a couple of guys together that were very competent and very different. So we had Brother Jim Jones and Brother Bill Horsch looking at houses for us. And Brother Jones is a builder, and Brother Horsch is just, everything in his house looks good. It's kept well. So we said, these are two great guys to have look at our house. And so they picked out a wonderful home for us. But I'm going to tell you one problem, Brother Horsch, is when you go up West Ave with two children under three, every possible fast food restaurant that you could ever pass by is on that road. And they know every one of them. And do you know why, Brother Boston? They know every one of them because when the little boys say French fries, you know what Daddy does? Amen. Why? Because I want to show them what love is. French fries are only 99 cents. That's an easy way to show my little boy I want to give him something he wants. Amen. Oh, I'm not talking about the sinful stuff. But you know, God calls us here to love Him. Hasn't He given you more than French fries? Hasn't He given you eternal life? Forgive me for stealing Jimmy Stewart's line, but hadn't He given you a wonderful life on earth? Some of you have precious families. God gave them to you. You have salvation full and free in Christ. You have a home in heaven. Most of us, I say most because Miss Alma told me today her furnace went out. I say most of us are going to go to a warm home tonight. And Miss Alma's got the fireplace running, all that, no problem. But we're not starving to death. Well, hang on. I'm not starving to death, amen. Maybe somebody in what am I trying to say? God has demonstrated His love toward us, that His Jesus' call to charity is a worthy call. We're not talking about giving. We're talking about giving back what's rightly due to God. And that's just saying, I love you. Husband, it do you good to tell your wife you love her. And all the wives said, thank you, ladies. Amen. And lest I be stoned to death after the service, ladies, it would do you good to tell your husband you love him. You say, why is that? You know God loves to hear I love you. You know how I know that? Because I'm made in the image of God. And when my wife says to me and pecks me on the cheek or gives me a hug, she says, I love you and I appreciate you. It just, Brother Boston, it makes goosebumps go up and down my body. God, we're made in His image. He deserves to hear I love you. And can I say this? He yearns to hear I love you. Sometimes when I'm in a regular service and I'm not conducting things, or I'll come to the altar, not because I have sin to confess, though sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll just come to the altar and say, God, I love you. I was on a slick road to hell at 23 and you saved me and filled my life with good things. I love you. We have a call to unity. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, we be unified. We have a call to testimony. We have a call to camaraderie or fellowship, and we have a call to charity. What's Jesus' prayer for His church? Unity, testimony, camaraderie, and charity. Let's have prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You for all that You give to us. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for this this Lord's Prayer. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would help us to be unified, but not just for unity's sake. Help us to be biblically unified. Lord, help us to never depart from the Word of God. Lord, churches all around us are compromising. And we're not Elijah. We know we're not the only ones. There's 7,000 others that have bowed the knee to Baal. There's other good churches in our area, and we thank God for them. But so many are falling by the wayside because the Word of God is not the standard. God, help us to stay true to the standard. Help us to have unity. Help us in our testimony. Help us to know that our co-workers watch us. Those folks at the restaurant every day, they watch us. Lord, help us our call to camaraderie, to have fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ, through our Bible reading, through prayer, and then to have fellowship one with another. And our call to charity is just to tell You how much we love You. Lord, I thank You for what You give, who You give, who You are. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Vivian, can we go to page 666? My Jesus, I love Thee. Page 666. Let's stand to our feet.